You guys want to take out your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to get there in just a little bit. I'm going to do a few things before we actually get to that. You're going to want to get to Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. And I am going to move over here. Because this seemed to work out pretty good last year. Then I'm going to talk to you, our gems, and we're just going to kind of let the big people listen in. All right? Because you are our guests of honor this morning. And we'll just let everybody else listen in. Now, as I say that, I'm going to give you a name that you're probably not familiar with, all right? And it's a guy by the name of Bob Wieland, all right? Probably never heard of him, okay? Maybe your parents might have. But anyways, let me give you another name that he goes by. He goes by the name Mr. Inspiration, okay? Let me tell you a little bit about him. He was very strong, okay, in his upper body. Okay, he was very, very strong. He was a strength coach, strength trainer for the Green Bay Packers. All right, so he was very strong in his upper body. However, he was involved in a war and he lost his legs. Okay, so he didn't have any legs. All right, but he's called Mr. Inspiration. You know why? Because one of the things that he did is he walked across America on his hands. All right, yeah. Walked all the way across America on his hands. So he would put his hands down and he would take his torso and move it forward. Hands forward, hands forward. And he did that all the way across America. That's why he's called Mr. Inspiration. Now, he was asked, because think about how many of those steps, if we can call them that. That might have taken probably, I don't know, millions probably, okay? Somebody asked him, they said, Bob, which of those steps was the hardest? You know what he said? The first one. He said the first one was the hardest. Now, we might think that it would be way at the end when you're super exhausted and you've been doing it for so long. But he said, no, the first step was the hardest. Because that's the one where you're really stepping out. That's the one where you're making a commitment to saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to really do this. And you start going. But to get yourself going, to say, yes, I'm going to do this, that can be the hardest thing to do. That step can be the hardest. There's an old Chinese proverb. And they say, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So now throughout this year, Gems, you've been encouraged and empowered to think about what it means to step out in faith. Just walk on water, so to say. I think that's what your shirts, I see some shirts that say that. What are the other one? Act, love, walk. Okay, perfect. All right. To be confident in God's truth and courageous in faith. Now, why is this important? All right, it's important because of the things that we deal with every day, girls. Things that we deal with, and you guys might deal with more than somebody like me or your moms and dads deal with. So we want to be mindful of that this morning, that you get a lot of messages that are coming your way. All right, and they're telling you to be timid. They're telling you to be shy. They're telling you to quit. They're telling you to give up. You get a lot of these from social media that you might be involved with, and telling you that you just don't matter, telling you that you're not important. And you get these feelings that you're small, that you're timid, and that you're insignificant. Well, the Bible tells us and teaches us something very, very different, okay? One of the overarching themes of the Bible is that you are important, all right? If you don't hear me say anything else this morning, hear me say that. You are important. You're significant. All right? Sometimes somebody might ask you, what's the Bible about? And you might say, well, it's about God. Or you might say, well, it's about Jesus. The truth is, the Bible is about you. It's about me. It's about God's love for us. So this year, you were empowered to develop a living, dynamic relationship with Jesus through prayer, through worship, and through Bible study. So this year, you've been looking at God working extraordinarily through ordinary people. People like Peter, people like Moses, Joshua, Daniel, Mary, and a Samaritan woman. All with the goal of you saying, I can be just like one of those people. You can look at yourself and say, you know, I'm an ordinary person. And I can be used extraordinarily by God. Let's take a look at that passage that I told you to turn to. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. And I think, as I was looking through your leader's guide, this might have been one of the first stories that you looked at, but you might have looked at it through the Gospel of Mark, and I want to look at it through the Gospel of Luke. So Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, just a few verses. And here's what it says. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat, and they set out. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. Here are these words. And they were in great, great danger. The disciples went. And they woke Jesus, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And may God add his blessing to the reading of Scripture. Please keep your Bibles open as we look at these few verses together. So Jesus is in a boat with his disciples, who are some very ordinary people. Okay, the disciples, you know, sometimes we see the pictures of the disciples. Maybe you've seen this, and they have halos around their heads. When Jesus was with them, no halos. You know, and that's fine and good if people want to put halos around their head now, that's fine. We know now that they were special people, but at that time, they were just very ordinary people. Most of them were just ordinary, average fishermen. That Jesus had just seen fishing along the shore and just said, hey, you, come follow me. Ordinary people. Ordinary people that Jesus called to be part of his mission, to be part of his ministry. You see, Jesus tends to be attracted to ordinary people. Hope you still have your Bibles open, because just in the verses before this, if you look at verse number 19 there, look at what it says there. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. Basically, what they're saying is, hey, you have some really special people out here who want to come in and see you. Does Jesus say, hey, yeah, bring those special people in here so that I can talk to them? No, he says in verse 21, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. What Jesus is saying there, my brother and brothers, my people are just your ordinary people who listen to me and put it into practice. That is who I like. Jesus says, I really just like your average ordinary people. So sometimes we have difficulties. And sometimes they happen on days when we least expect them. All right. And I like the way that the story begins there in verse 22, because it just says one day. All right, so there was nothing special about this day. It was an ordinary day. Just like ordinary people, it was an ordinary day. Just like what we have. All right, we get up in the morning, we are expecting an ordinary day. It was the same thing for the disciples. And we know on ordinary days, ordinary things can happen. Sometimes there can be some special things that happen. Or there can be some times when we have some real difficulties that happen, that maybe we're not even prepared for, that maybe we didn't even see coming. But nonetheless, they happen. And we have difficulties that we need to try to get through. So we become stressed, we become anxious, we hear negative voices, we hear negative feelings. The disciples, their difficulty was this squall that came along, this sudden storm. And they were swamped, and like I said when I was reading it, they were in great danger. They were fearful for their lives. Don't lose sight of that. They were in great, great danger of going overboard and drowning. So that's what they do. They go to Jesus and they tell him exactly that. They say, "We are going to drown." But I like the way that they address Jesus. Did you catch that? They say, "Master, Master." That tells us that they are in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus isn't just somebody that they have just found. They have known Jesus for a while, so much that they have listened to them, and he has become what they are able to call Master. He is important to them. They have a relationship with Jesus. So that's encouragement for us, girls. That is encouragement for us to have that same relationship with Jesus. Because in the same way that he wanted to have a relationship with his disciples, he wanted to know his disciples, Jesus wants to know each and every one of us as well. So Jesus calms the wind and the waves, and everything is nice and calm for the disciples. I'm sure that it didn't stay that way forever. There were probably more storms that happened down along the way. But they had this experience with Jesus. And Jesus asked them a peculiar question. Did you catch it? He says, "Where is your faith?" He doesn't ask, "Well, what do you want me to do?" You know, somebody's all of a sudden waking you up saying, "Master, Master," you might just jump up and say, What should I do? What do you want?" Jesus doesn't ask that. Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" And Luke doesn't record an answer for us. So what kind of question is this, Jesus? What answer are you looking for? You see, I think the problem that Jesus had with their actions was the phrase, "We're going to drown." You see, because in a time of difficulty, the disciples here, they felt small, they felt timid, they felt insignificant, they felt powerless. And they thought for sure that their difficulties were going to overtake them. So they chose fear over faith. You know, a lot of times I see t-shirts that people are wearing nowadays. It says faith over fear. Well, the disciples here, they chose the opposite. They were choosing fear over faith. A man by the name of John Calvin, he wrote a lot of books a long time ago. This is the way he defines faith. He says that faith is a firm and certain knowledge. It means the way that we think, okay, up in our head. Of God's benevolence, that's a big word. It's a big word. It means kindness, all right? That God is kind toward us, founded upon the truth of the freely given promise in Christ. both revealed to our minds and sealed upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit. John Calvin made that a little simpler for us. He also said that it's a firm and effectual confidence. Right? So hear that word there, confidence, because that's what we want you to have this morning. We want you to have confidence. Not just knowledge, but confidence in your relationship with God and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. One more time from John Calvin, because he goes on to say, it's a quote, but I took some of the language and made it a little bit more modern for us. All right, so some of our moms and dads, they might hear what I'm about to read and they go, that doesn't sound like John Calvin, doesn't sound like what he would write. So here's what he said. He says, the knowledge of Christ is a doctrine not of just words we say, but of how we live our lives. It is not just about knowing facts about Jesus. You know, we know all sorts of facts about Jesus. Sometimes we can get our minds so full of facts about Jesus. Those are important, all right? But instead, the point at which we really, really know Jesus is when we allow him to be part of every area of our lives and love Jesus with all our heart. So allowing Jesus to be part of every area of our lives and love Jesus with all our heart. Three quick things that I want you to, that I want to leave you with, straight from the leader's guide that you've been using this past year. Number one, God is worthy of your attention. All right, God is worthy of your attention. Number two, God cares for you. All right, God cares for you. Number three, God is with you no matter what. God is worthy of your attention. God cares for you. God is with you no matter what. You see, girls, when we remember these three things, we can be just an ordinary person who steps out in faith and is used extraordinarily by God. Let me say a prayer. Oh God, may we hear these words this morning. Know that we are loved. Know that we are cared for. And we thank you for the faith that you give to us. Help us to use it. Help us to step out in confidence, to live our lives in boldness for you, knowing that you are good, knowing that you are faithful. You are always there for us. You never let us down. Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.